a kindred spirit there. So we're going to continue to pray for him and lift him up and help him, amen, as he starts on this journey, amen, of being born again, living a brand new life. The Bible says old things are passed away. All things have become new, amen. He made a new creature out of us, amen. Thank God for the ability to be born again, amen, in the Spirit of the Lord. Tonight, we're going to do a little bit of Jesus 101. That's all right. I guess, and you can, you don't have to stand tonight, I guess, because I'm going to be reading and kind of flipping back and forth. But, well, you know what? If you want to stand, let's stand for Philippians. Philippians chapter number 2, verses 9, 10, and 11. And this will give us a format tonight as we're going to do some scripture reading, and we're going to, like I said, we're going to be studying about Jesus tonight. Amen. I don't know a better subject, do you?
That's right. Amen.
Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse number 9. Wherefore God hath also hath rather highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Can we bow our heads in prayer? Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you tonight, God, for the privilege and the honor to meet tonight in this sanctuary to give honor and praise to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the testimonies of faith tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the ability to pray to you for comfort and peace during these trying times, during these times of sorrow and grief as well. Father, we know that we can find comfort in you. And Father, I pray tonight that you would see to each and every need, God, those who are afflicted, those who are sick. Father, I pray, God, a very special prayer of healing on their account, asking you tonight, God, just to lead us by your Holy Spirit. Anoint these lips of clay tonight, God, to speak to us that you would have us to hear, that we'll be submissive and obedient to your will and to your word. And we'll give you all the praise. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I guess if I had a message title tonight, it would be in the form of a question. Why Jesus? You know, this was a question that was maybe presented to the apostles, to the disciples, as they began to preach about Jesus. In fact, Jesus, you know, we talk about Jesus and his ministry, but you know, Jesus' ministry was a very short ministry. It was only about 3.5 years, because under the Jewish custom, a minister or a priest or a rabbi could not begin his preaching until he was at the age of 30 years old. So when Jesus began his ministry, it only lasted about 3.5 years before he was crucified on the cross of Calvary. As Sister Linda sang, thank God for Calvary. Amen. That's what it's all about. But why Jesus? Why did Jesus come to this earth to be crucified for our sins? It's all part of the Heavenly Father's plan, the glorious plan, the wonderful plan that is without any error to it whatsoever. Nothing happened by chance. Everything that happened was according to God's will and God's perfect plan. And Scripture will bear that out. So we're going to read some Scripture tonight. First of all, I want to go to John 1 and 1. If ever there was a need to understand that Jesus was God in man, the disciple John starts the very first chapter off with a wonderful and an adequate and an absolute glorious explanation as to why Jesus Christ became our Lord and Savior. He starts off in verse number 1 of the first chapter, says, in the beginning. Now, what is the beginning? The beginning of all things. You know, Genesis tells us about in the beginning. What was in the beginning?
Nothing.
Nothing, absolutely nothing. Regardless of what some might say, the Big Bang Theory, the colliding of planets or whatever scientists or very smart people have to theorize that made all of this happen, Bible believers understand and know that it was the Creator of all things, our Heavenly Father. But it said, in the beginning was the Word. Now, it's not talking about the written word, okay? It's not talking about the Bible, but it's talking about the what's in the Bible, what the words are that are in the Bible. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. A very profound statement there. And a lot of people still, after all of these years, have a very difficult time understanding and comprehending exactly what John the disciple was talking about. And it says this same. What is the same? The same that was the beginning with God was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. I don't know where all these other theories and opinions come. If they're Bible believers, the Bible plainly tells us all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. I don't know about you, but that pretty much covers all the bases to me and lets me know and understand the story of creation. It says, goes on to say, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Still, that is the case today. Even though Jesus Christ is that light, there's still a world full of darkness that does not recognize him as Savior or as Lord. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Understand. And the reason this was because there were some thought that John was the Messiah. John the Baptist was not John the Messiah. He was a pre-runner. He was a prelude. He was the one preaching that the one coming after him was mightier than he. He said the same for came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Exactly fulfilling what the scriptures and the prophetic books of the Old Testament pointed to. Isaiah, Joel, Jeremiah, all of these pointed to the Messiah coming. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Now, what is he talking about there? He's talking about the children of Israel. He's talking about the nation of Israel. And Israel did not recognize Jesus as the Messiah, as the Christ, as the Son of God. In fact, they were the ones that gave him the most problems and tried to trip him up most of the time. But you know what? That didn't keep him from loving them. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That is so very important to know, that we must believe in the Lord Jesus, and we must believe on the name of Jesus. Yes, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Verse number 14, so very vital. And the Word, which was in the beginning with the Lord, or with God, and the Word was with God, this Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Understanding that is pointing to Jesus Christ. I want to flip over to St. John chapter 6, if I might, and read several verses here in the words of Jesus Christ himself, written in red in my Bible, and they may be also in your Bible. All the Word is good, from Genesis to Revelation, but there is something exciting to begin to read the words of Christ himself, what Jesus said. And in verse number 35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. This is really early in Christ's ministry, and already he knew his mission. Already he knew his destiny. Here he's tantalizing or teasing a little bit of the disciples, giving them a little information as to what his mission was. Even when he got more exact with it, some still didn't really believe that that he was going to be crucified or going to be killed or going to be taken away from them. And he said in a short while they'd be able to come him. But this is what he was alluding to the whole time. He said, and this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. What a promise that is to the believers. Amen. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now, that is a wonderful scripture of promise to believers, but to non-believers, that's pretty exact. That's pretty strong, because he says that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him. So there's got to be some believing there. You got to believe. And in order to believe, you got to have faith. Because how many of us have actually seen Jesus? But that should not keep us from believing. Believing. You know, a lot of people would have to tell you today, oh, he was just a man. He was just a good preacher or a good teacher or a rabbi or this at the other. But you must believe that Jesus Christ came as the Son of God on his purpose, on the Father's purpose, to be our propitiation, to be our mediator, to be our redeemer, to be our sacrificial lamb. That's the reason. Because God, being a spirit, cannot bleed. He could not. And God didn't change the word. There's always had to be blood atonement. So the word had to become flesh. And the only time the word ever became flesh was through Jesus Christ. So that's the reason. As I asked tonight, why Jesus? These are the scriptures that tells us why Jesus. And the world doesn't still. They read that and the world still does not want to profess Jesus. They'll say things like, you'll have the freedom to worship any God that you want to. No, you don't. Not according to the word of the Lord. Because understand that Jesus being God in man is so important, so vital for us to know. The scriptures himself tells us that. And this is the Father's will, which had sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone, say that with me, everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now, as he's teaching, listen to what the Jews begin to do. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Again, they revert back to the manna that God rained down to the children of Israel during the time of Moses in the wilderness journey. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? Is it then that he saith, came down from heaven? Again, they're not looking through eyes of faith, which the Bible plainly tells us to do so, but they're looking through eyes of flesh at the natural man of Jesus. And that's Joseph's son. He's the carpenter's son. And now he's proclaiming that he is the Son of God. And Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now, this is very, very important to those procrastinators who say, I'll just come to the Lord when I get ready. According to this, you must have the call of the Father. How many remembers when you had that spirit? And we call it conviction. We call it the Spirit of God drawing us. And a lot of people say, oh, that's an uncomfortable feeling. Thank God for that feeling. Because that is the Father drawing us to Jesus. That is the Father drawing us, because Jesus plainly says here, no man can come to the Son without the Father calling, that Spirit of God putting that sense of urgency, letting us know that we're living in a sinful nature. I thank God, because I know myself, I did not answer the calling the first time I felt it. Maybe many of you did. Maybe the first time you felt that convicting power, you went to an altar of repentance and asked the Lord Jesus to come into your life and fill you with his Holy Spirit. But I didn't do that. I put it off. But thank God for his forgiveness. Thank God for his patience with me. And thank God he called me again. Amen. And I finally answered that calling, and I'm so thankful that I did. But Jesus said here in verse 45, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Again he says, I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven and that a man may eat thereof and not die. Now, what is he talking about that? He's talking about eternal life. He's not talking about the flesh living forever. He's talking about the soul of man. If we partake of the bread of life, the bread of life is what? He said, I am. Jesus said, I am. Why Jesus? Because he said it. Because the word tells us that he is that bread of life. And then he goes on in verse 51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Imagine the Jews hearing this and saying, this man's crazy. You know, this man's not making any sense whatsoever. Because all they had to go by was the Mosaic law. You know, Jesus came and showing them, not, he did not do away with the law. What does he say? He came to fulfill the law. So imagine hearing this for the very first time. And especially the Jewish people, this was all, you know, blasphemy to them. They just could not accept this whatsoever. Then it said, the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Again, looking through the natural, looking through eyes of the flesh, not opening up their spiritual faith and believing what Jesus was saying. So many times Jesus was using these words, but he was talking about things in a spiritual context rather than a natural context. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Now this almost sounds a little vampirish, doesn't it? Well, literally, I mean, to the Jews, that's what they was thinking. Again, they're not looking through the eyes of their spirit. They're not looking through eyes of faith. But they're saying, this man, this flesh, is telling us now we got to eat of his flesh and drink of his blood. How many of us Bible readers know exactly what he's referring to? He's talking about his death, burial, and resurrection. That's exactly what he was talking about. That's the reason that communion is done. You do communion not to be saved. You do communion because of recognition of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. The bread that you eat, the unleavened bread, signifies the broken body of Christ. The cup of the juice, the cup of the wine, whichever it is that you partake of, that signifies the blood of Jesus Christ. So you do it in a spiritual manner, in observance to what Jesus Christ did. He says, as often as you do this, you do so in remembrance of me, remembering the price that Jesus Christ paid. And I don't believe that we really remember enough about the price. We talk about it, we sing about it, we praise the Lord about it. But if you really, really want to be broken, if you really, really want to be humble and just really show humility, think about what Jesus Christ did on the cross for you. Put it in an individual context. He did that for me. He did that for each and every one of you. In fact, he even did it for those people who beat him. He did it for those who pierced his side. He died forever. He didn't die just for the Jewish people. He didn't die just for the 120 that was in the upper room. I wasn't there, but he died for me. Amen. And I'm so thankful for that. Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Again, these words, if you're listening to them like the Jews did, it's making absolutely no sense. And I think a lot of people try to interpret the Bible like that in a literal sense, and it's not making sense to them. But you got to understand the spirit. You got to understand what Jesus is saying here and how he was saying that I am that supreme sacrifice. I am that sacrificial lamb. You can eat of my flesh. You can drink of my blood, but it will be in a form of the Spirit. And that was a prelude to the baptism of the Holy Ghost that comes into us as believers. Amen. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. How many remembers the story of Jesus approaching the Samaritan woman? He didn't use the analogy of bread, but he used the analogy of water. So he referred to himself on that particular time, I am that living water. If you drink of this water that's in this well, you'll surely die. But if you drink of that living water, you shall live forever. She had no idea of what he was talking about. And he had to go on and explain to her that he was that living water. And thank God, you know, I didn't see it. I didn't see it growing up as a kid. I didn't see it a lot of times. But Thank God that it was finally revealed to me. Why Jesus? Because Jesus is the way. Amen. Jesus is the life. He's the truth. Amen. And He is the way. The Bible says, none other name given under heaven whereby man might be saved than the name of Jesus. Very, very important. I want us to go now to, I did Philippians first in Philippians 9 and 11 again. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Let me just kind of sum this up a little bit. In the world that you and I are living in, it is not offensive to use the word God. Because the world has accepted the fact that if you're speaking of God, you could be speaking of the Son. You could be speaking of Buddha. You could be speaking of whoever, Mother Nature. You say that kind of lighthearted, but there's a lot of people who even put that in a godlike manner. So that's not offensive. But you use the name Jesus today, and it's very offensive to the world. They don't want that at all. I noticed our wonderful world of Disney, just in a commercial this week, they're having a celebration, and nowhere in that celebration was the mention of Christmas whatsoever. They're calling it the joy. Jesus is joy. But to be politically correct, people are kind of bowing to political correctness, and they're not using Christmas because of Christ being offensive. And they're trying to take Jesus out of almost anything and everything. You know, schools, a lot of schools won't even allow you to wear a shirt that pertains to Jesus. And a lot of places, you know, it's like that. Why is Jesus offensive? Why? And because the adversary has put that in the mind of folks today, because Jesus is the way. He is the truth, and He is the life. And then we need to understand that. And basically, there it is right there in plain. And not only that, but I wanted to read, too, as we have a baptism tonight, why it's very important to take on the name of Jesus. So, the very familiar scripture that everybody knows is Acts 2:38. Acts 2:38. And Acts 2:38 tells us, I want to read back just a little bit before 2:38, because sometimes, back up just a little bit. Let's read 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? So Peter said unto them, Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts 8:12. Let's begin with verse 12, yeah. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto him Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Now, I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost before I was baptized. But you know, according to the Word of God, you're actually not even promised the Holy Ghost until you're baptized. Now, the baptism itself is not salvational, okay? You can be dunked all you want to, and that doesn't give you salvation. What does give us salvation is the blood of Jesus Christ and the infilling of His Spirit, okay? But it's the promise of God, and it's one of the commandments of God. So this is the reason we baptize. This is the reason we baptize, using the name of Jesus. Again, Acts 19 and 5. First of all, let's go with... Let's read verse 1. in the 19th chapter of the book of Acts. This is the Apostle Paul. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." And he said unto them, "Unto what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Unto John's baptism." John's baptism, understandingly, this is where he explains, was basically a baptism unto repentance. Repentance is a key, okay? But repentance itself is not salvation, okay? You can say, I'm sorry all day long. That doesn't save you. But you repent, amen, and then you ask the Lord to come into your life. When you repent, you're almost emptying your vessel, okay? So that it can be filled with the Spirit of the Lord. If you think about it in that way, that's kind of a natural way of thinking. But in order, because you don't just kind of fill something up that unless it's already empty. So and when you repent, you empty out your soul. You know, that's godly sorrow. That's a broken and contrite spirit. That's when you say, "Lord, you know, yeah, you know, I'm not sorry I got caught. I'm sorry, I'm guilty. I'm guilty of sin. You know, sin's in my life. Forgive me. I know I've done wrong. I want to repent. I want to start over. I want a brand new life. I want to empty all of that old stuff and all that old carnage out of my life. And I want you to fill me up with love. I want you to fill me up with your mercy. I want you to have grace, your grace is sufficient. And I want you to have grace on me, Lord, and forgive me of my sin." That's basically what he's talking about. So then Paul said, "John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." So this is the reason that we baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus. We don't discount the fact that there's a Father. We don't discount the fact that there's a Son. We don't discount the fact that there's a Holy Spirit or a Holy Ghost. But the Bible said these three are one. And that's the reason that we use the name of Jesus, amen, when we go down into a watery grave, in which we're going to do now. So, Brother Jameson, you come on over here, and if Sister Penny would come back to the music and play a little something for us, and we'll get ready, and we'll have a baptismal service. So let's give him a hand. Amen. I was talking to him. I said, "Are you ready?" He said, "I'm a little bit nervous." So Trey was standing there, and he said, Trey was saying something. He said, "Well, you want to be baptized with me?" And Trey said, "Nope, I wasn't having any part of that." I told him, I've been trying to get Trey for a while. He wasn't ready. He just wanted to step. He wanted to walk up the steps and look into the water, but that's as far as he would go. So you come and sing something for us, Penny, get us started, and we'll get ready. Yeah, you have to sing. Unless you want to baptize, and I'll sing one. Thank you.
apostle, out of his profession of faith, his will to start a brand new life for the Lord. So thank you for that. It's our honor and privilege to baptize Jameson also in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise His holy name. Oh, praise God. Wouldn't miss it for nothing. Just praise the Lord. Just want to thank Him for His many blessings. And just for anyone that says, those are things of old. No, you're a witness. This is things of today and for tomorrow. May we keep our family and our loved ones and our neighbors in prayer, that they'll also turn their life over to the Lord. I say it many times, they'll find that altar of penance, whether it's here in a church or whether it's in a, wherever they're at, whether it be a camp meeting or conference or whatever, or maybe it's in the privacy of their own home or in a car, that God's Word will reach out to them. You know, His Word's got to go forward, because without His Word, you know, it doesn't go out. It's as strong as can be, and it's still that saving power, just like we studied tonight. Those are perfect scriptures. If someone's questioning the Lord, we can probably get Brother Eddie to give those or have them posted if we can. And just that scripture. Why Jesus? Why Jesus? It's written out in the Word of Life right here. Praise God. Love each and every one of you. Want to keep thank you all for your prayers and for all that you're doing. Want to just ask the Lord just to continue to bless and guide us and all. Yes, ma'am.
Can I get a couple of prayer requests? I'm very embarrassed that I was thinking.
No, go right ahead.
Oh, okay. Have to learn to live with it. And also my mother, she's having an issue, so the heart doctor, the urologist, and the GI doctor have a little battery of tests. I know it's nothing. I think they're just trying to rule those things out. I think it's nerve-related, but if you'll keep her in prayer.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Praise God. All righty. All hearts and minds clear. As we get ready to part, let's celebrate victory tonight in Jesus' name, and also just keep each other. Yes, Miss Penny.
If y'all would please remember Kevin tonight, we have to do a test on him during the night tonight, and he has to be without his oxygen. So I'll probably be up all night. Pray that it goes the way I need it to go.
Absolutely. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Most definitely will. All righty, with this prayer, we're going to be dismissed. And keep these other prayer requests in mind too as you pray. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You. Lord, we thank You for allowing us to gather in Your house and in Your name, dear Lord. We thank You and so much we love You for allowing us just to feast on Your Word. Lord, for You planning each and every day, for You knowing tonight, You knowing the results, You know that Your Word would go out and how true it is. Lord, that You're placing that desire in our heart to seek You. Lord, we thank You for comforting those that need comfort, for protecting those that need protection. Lord, for those that are going about tests and procedures, Lord, we know that You'll be with us through each and every one. And, dear Lord, for Brother Kevin tonight, dear Lord, and Sister Penny and Brother Eddie, Lord, that You will guide them tonight in this special test. And, Lord, we're placing them in Your hands. We know that You are victorious, Lord, in all that You do. And we're asking for You to take charge and be in control. Again, dear Lord, thank You for letting us be witnesses, baptism, for this new birth tonight, dear Lord, and for us just allowing us to worship You. We give You all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' most precious name. And we all say, Amen. Amen. Amen.